Is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful Clearwater, Florida this day. A little hot. Some of you in northern cities and states may be a little jealous when I tell you we're still running in the 90s down here. And it's been pretty warm, to say the least. Cedric, don't you think it's time to get a little breeze coming once in a while?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a tease maybe about 3 weeks ago or something,
right.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it just felt like fall was rolling in, and it's gone.
It's gone. And hey, how I was watching the Rays in between our service and the show, and they were ahead 3-0 when I left the house. And maybe you can give us a...
I will. They're playing the Sox, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and when I was watching them yesterday, they were just going to town.
10-0 they won. And really, it's down to the wire, as they seem to do all the time. You know, we're down to the wire right before the playoffs. Dan, you're not a great big baseball fan, are you?
Rah-rah.
Rah-rah. Okay, well, I am, and football fan, too, and all of that.
It's 5-2.
5-2. All right. Thank
Bottom
you,
Cedric. Bottom of the fifth.
Bottom of the fifth. Okay, and I know you're all going, we don't care about the Rays. Oh, but you should. But anyway, we're just glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here in the studio again as usual, as always, live with my good buddy Nan. Nan, it's fun to be on the radio and to share the truth of God's Word, is it not?
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's great.
And just look forward to the opportunity anytime to get to participate in this particular ministry of Beacon.
It really is. It's fun. I remember the first time you were on, it was about a year and a half ago or so. It's been a long time now.
Yeah. I remember that time too.
And you just jumped in like it was something you'd always done. It just was natural for you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you can be around something long enough, you can know what you need to do. And,
right.
You know, I was coming into the studio several months.
Right.
But before that, just... it was like my evening. This is my evening service. For some
right.
people listening, this is their church service.
Sure.
This is my evening service. And that's the way I looked at it. And all of a sudden, I got the opportunity because someone was sick to set in. I'm like, oh, cool. You know?
And we said, oh, you did so good. You got to be a regular on the team. So we will have one of our other team members join us in the next hour also, along with you and me. And but anyway, we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in our 11th year, almost ready to celebrate our 11th anniversary in 3 weeks on the 21st. It doesn't even seem possible that this ministry has been around 11 years. I mean, we've been through so much. We've moved different times. We came from Tampa to Dunedin and now Clearwater, just by circumstances happening. But, you know, God has always been faithful, man. He has always been faithful no matter what we've gone through. And as a ministry, and it's just been good. God's always there with us.
Well, I think when the leadership is... acting appropriately and acting as God would have them act, because we know
right.
that there are leaders in churches that
sure.
they're not behaving the way they should be as far as God, what God wants them to do.
Right.
And I think that God is honoring yourself, Pastor Jim, and the leaders of the church because of your willingness to do and go in the direction that he leads you to go into.
Right.
And you're willing to do that. And God will reward that willingness.
Amen. He does. And we're going to talk about that today in the book of James. We've been studying the book of James now 3 or 4 weeks. Are you enjoying it, Nan, the book
of
James?
Oh, yes. It's interesting because I'll come across a scripture. Oh, yeah, I knew that scripture. Is that where it was?
Right. Exactly. And today is no exception. We're going to be in James 4. If you have your Bibles, you can find it, and it's going to be great. One of the new ministries at Beacon of Hope is the Facebook ministry for the ministry. I mean, yeah, it's, I just said that. And you find it on facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we welcome you, and we encourage you to go to our Facebook page now. And we've been working diligently this past week to get some recent Sunday morning clips up there. And they look great, and they're in HD. They look good. So we encourage you to go. And when you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, be sure and press the like button. That's very important, because when you like it, then it registers of numbers of people coming to the site, and it does a lot of things there with Google that need to be done. So we encourage you, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, and like it. And we'll talk more about that later, but there's some really great ministry up there on our site. And it's just exciting, man, that we have all these avenues of ministry now, these different ways to reach people, like right now on this radio show, which we're in our sixth year on this. It's just great, isn't it?
Well, you know, yes. That I've gone and viewed the clips on the face. I have liked it.
Okay,
and,
good.
I
good girl.
Them. Yeah, I did it. And also what we have on our website.
Right.
Also to be able to have these shows audibly available on the Beacon Hope, internet website.
Right.
You know, these are just avenues that are available to people that they can listen to in a time period when they can listen to it. They can sit down and settle down. You know, they may not can listen right now 4 to 6.
Right.
But someone may be catching this at midnight some night because they worked night shift and got off and want to check in a sermon, a radio show.
Yeah, absolutely. Drumming. You know, I hear this from a lot of people, different places, that their schedules don't permit on a Sunday afternoon, perhaps. But later in the week, they'll go to our website and pick up the radio show they missed. So that's really cool. And you can get that on beaconofhopeministries.com. And that's thanks to our good-looking, tall, energetic, enthusiastic. Did I mention good-looking?
Good-looking, yes.
Engineer Cedric, and he's in there, and he's great. And so he makes that possible. And so we appreciate that, Cedric, very much. So we've had a lot going on at Beacon of Hope. We had new people again today, and that's always exciting. Some children, which is cool.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they got there with their parents, of course.
Right,
but,
of course, yes. They didn't hitchhiking,
anything
like that.
Yeah, they didn't just walk in.
Their parents brought them.
Yeah, but really, it's always good to see new faces come through the door. And we've got a lot of exciting new things coming in the planning stages, and we'll be telling our listening audience about those things as they develop. But just know that we are planning some new things, which is cool.
Very cool.
To reach more people.
Reach more people. The goals, to reach the hurting lives.
Yes.
You know, as
yes.
It goes along with the goal of the theme of the ministry. You know?
Absolutely.
And just to be there.
Right.
Just to be there. There's a lot of hurting people out there.
Absolutely. And we want to be a piece of the puzzle that causes them to realize they need a relationship with the Lord Jesus. We want to be that voice. And so if you just tuned in, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. And one more time, we encourage you to go to our new Facebook page, facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries. It ends in IES. And if you just put in ministry, that's not going to work. So it's Beacon of Hope Ministries, plural. And like it when you go there, and then we'll go from there. And you can listen to some of the clips of the last couple weeks of my sermons. And this one was recorded today, earlier, the one from this morning. And so that'll be up here soon. So it's fun. Everything God's doing. Exciting. So whatever your situation is today, we are glad that you have joined us to hear some word and some great music and some fun chat. And we will have another guest on next hour along with Nan and I. So here we go. Susan Ashton has done a song that I love, Psalm 121. So it's a song based on that psalm, and I think you'll like it. Let's go. Thank you.
does my help come? My help, it comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade on my right hand. The sun shall not hurt me by day.
The Lord is my keeper. What a great psalm is 121. You know, it's just such an encouragement. We really encourage each of you to find time to get in the book of Psalms. Recently, we studied that several months ago on Wednesday nights, the whole book. We went through the entire book, didn't we, Nan? We got all 150
all
Psalms.
150 of them.
But there was so much good stuff there in the book of Psalms. And I encourage people out there, especially if you're going through a difficult time, especially if you've got some things happening in your life that you don't have answers for, you need encouragement, the book of Psalms is where to start, starting with Psalm 1. And you can begin to read those out loud and just make it personal. You know, just take each psalm and change it to I, all this. And it will really, really help you. It's just amazing what the book of Psalms does for people. It's an encouragement.
Oh, we had a blast when we were going through it. I mean, to literally make it through, and each one sharing what they got out of a particular chapter. So those of us who mark in our Bibles, we're marking in our Bibles all the way through. So now I have all kind of cool things marked in Psalms that, you know, the Lord can use to, you know, if I open to a particular chapter, I've got
scripture right there
that are as encouragement. Scriptures of encouragement. Scriptures of love for God.
Right.
Scriptures of direction of things to do. Just all kind of things.
Absolutely. All right. So we encourage you to do that. So we are studying the book of James, and we have gotten all the way to chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to really amplify on this. We touched on it this morning at Beacon of Hope, but we're going to expand it out now. James 4, 7 says this, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Very short verse, Nan, but very, very important and very powerful. The first part of that verse, "Submit therefore to God." I really feel that a lot of people across this world have a hard time submitting to God. I don't think it is in line with our human nature. When we get saved, yes, our desires change, our goals change, we want to serve the Lord. But so often people get sidetracked with all kinds of things going on in their lives, and they get off on, you know, this interest or that interest. Nothing wrong with those interests, but if we don't make time for God in our lives and we're not submitting to Him, we can really get off base.
Well, I think those are reasons that people choose not to submit to God, but I think also one reason, and I have done this personally in my life, so that's
so
why I know this one.
Let's repent.
Let's repent. It is under the blood. It is repented of. Fearful of what He's going to ask us to do.
Oh.
If we submit to God, that means we're submitting to His will for our lives.
There you go.
And, you know, some of us don't want to turn over 100% ourselves to Him for fear of what He might ask us to do.
And that's coming from somebody who has struggled with this. That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
You know what? I think that you're not alone, Nan. I think right. that we all have times in our lives when we know that the Spirit of God is talking to us and is asking for more commitment, more consecration, more spending time with God, more spending time in the Word. And circumstances so often fight against us. And I think that we have a hard time realizing that the devil is involved in some of those circumstances, to cause us to just not make the time. You know, some of it is just our own making. You know, mm-hmm. our priorities need to be rearranged. You know, they need to be reworked. But a lot of times the devil is in there working hard to keep us from spending time with God. You know, why? Why does the devil want to keep us from spending time with God?
I think that it makes an imprint. I can talk tonight.
All right. There
makes
you go.
An imprint on our lives and what we can do for God if we're in His will doing what He desires us to do. Well, that's going to really tick Satan off, because we're making strides and we're accomplishing things for the kingdom's sake,
yes.
which is why we're all here to begin with, is the kingdom's sake.
Well, that's really why we're here.
That's really bottom line why we're all here.
You know? We are created to be to the praise of His glory.
Exactly.
Okay? I think a lot of times people are just not aware that they have a heavenly purpose to be here on this earth, that God has ordained certain things and opportunities that He wants to bring into our lives, and He wants to bless us with His kingdom right here on earth, you know, mm-hmm. and really cause us to be used of Him to help other people in the areas of their lives where they need help. And so often we are so self-centered and self-concerned, I guess is the way to put it, mm-hmm. that we miss what God is trying to do. And so when it comes to a verse like James 4:7, submit to God, submit therefore to God, that's just not in most people's vocabulary, I think, Nan. I think they struggle with, what does that mean? How do I do it? Do I do it once a day? Do I do it? Am I living in submission? The answer to that is, yeah, you learn to live in submission to God's will for your life. And that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do, but it's so rewarding.
It's so cool when
when you have this, like, fantastic relationship with God.
Right.
Because you're in the total His will for your life. I mean, it's like, what awesome. It's like, okay, take a husband and wife. And they're just into helping each other, into loving each other.
Right.
Their relationship is just something very special, because
right.
they both are contributing to that in the way they need to contribute. They each receive in that the way they need to receive. And it's like a beautiful union.
It's
and
the
that's
God
the way it is with
it.
God.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with God and us. It's a beautiful reunion when we're doing, submitted to Him and
Absolutely.
Doing His will. Submitted
yeah.
to Him.
Absolutely. I find it very interesting here in James 4:7 that right above it in James 4:6, he says this. He gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's unmerited favor. All that favor. Now, he says that God actually stands against, opposes the proud. And there's a lot of verses on pride all through the book of Proverbs and the places in Psalms where it shows us that God doesn't like it when we're full of conceit, when we're full of pride, when we're full of doing our own thing, when we are not even giving God another look. You know, when we are over there just doing my thing, you know, I'm too busy, God. Leave me alone. Someday I'm going to get in the Word. Someday I'm going to maybe go to church. Maybe someday I'm going to actually praise you. Maybe someday I'm going to pray. Someday.
Someday never comes for some people.
It never does sometimes. Mm-mm. Because priorities, and that's why I think James says this in James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what does he give? Grace is God's unmerited favor. We all want to walk around in favor, God's favor and his blessing. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 5:12, and it says that God surrounds us with favor like a shield. And when we picture that in our minds, a great big shield like the armor of God that we studied recently in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18, it says take on this shield of faith. And back in the days of when this was written, the shield of the Roman soldier was huge. It was the size of a door, okay? And it was humongous, and it would knock out those fiery darts of the devil that were coming at that soldier, okay? And so when we understand how important it is to realize that favor, God's grace is like a big old shield around us. And when we realize that, then the devil, he hates it when we get a knowledge and a working knowledge, let's put it that way, where we can live it on a daily basis of the concept of favor. The devil hates that. He does not want us walking in favor. He wants God's favor. He wants us to walk in our own pride, our own doing my own thing type thing. Go ahead. I'm going on and on, Nan. Jump in there.
You were doing such a fine job. Well, I was good. Letting you go forward with that. You know, you talk about the shield being the size of a door. I mean, that's, you got to be pretty strong to carry that thing around. That's what
exactly,
I was thinking.
Exactly, right.
It's not real spiritual, but that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But Satan does come against us in the ways. He wants us to, he'll help us with our pride.
Oh, he will.
He will help us build that pride and make it grow.
He
will help us with our pride because that's something against our Father. That's something right. against our God. And so he certainly is out there on the rampage. If you don't pay special attention, if you're not grounded in the Word, if you're not reading the Word on a regular basis, if you're not praying as you should, then he will help you move right on with other kind of things.
Well, and when we're caught up in pride, then we are preoccupied with how people treat us. Mm-hmm. She's got food for thought there going.
That's food for thought.
Okay. When we are caught up in, and it's all about me. Okay. Look what happened to me. Okay. This happened to me. Oh my gosh, this happened to me. Ah! Okay, when we are in that mindset, remember, in order to change a mindset, you have to replace it with another mindset.
Right.
So if your mindset is, it's all about me and how you can best serve me, how you can best pay attention to me, how you can best treat me in the way that I need to be treated, all of that, it becomes just this thing of ego. It becomes this thing about me. In fact, we live in a culture now that's what people talk about. You know, it's all about me. I've got to do what's best for me. Take care of me. Okay. There is some truth to that we need to take care of ourselves. But what God is saying here is let's learn to put pride at the back, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You know,
totally get rid of it.
And instead, humble ourselves. And in fact, in James 4:7 and 4:6, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, that's talking about those who are teachable. The humble are those that are teachable. Okay? When we say, "God, I want to submit to you and to your lordship in my life, and I want to do what you want me to do. I want to accomplish on this earth the things that you desire for me to accomplish. I want to be teachable. God, I want you to talk to me. If I'm out of line, if I need to forgive somebody, if I need to go to somebody and ask them to forgive me, I want to be teachable. God, I want to hear your voice so strong that when you tell me to do something, I do it." You know, Nan, that's one thing I appreciate about you. Okay, and I've known you a few years now. Yeah. But you hear from God, and you do your best to obey. Now, have there been times when you drag your heels? Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
Dragging my heels?
Whatever you want to talk about there.
Whatever I want to talk about there. Let's see, you said I'm teachable.
Yeah. You are teachable, aren't you?
Yes. And the thing on the forgiveness thing, we've kind of touched on that a little bit. That can be really tough and tricky for people.
Absolutely.
What I thought of when you said that, I thought of my ex-husband. I referred to him many times.
Yes, but you do. Poor guy.
I have nothing about him. We've been apart 22 years. But,
oh, okay. Time to let it go.
I'm not letting it go. I'm letting him go, but examples.
I'm teasing. Oh, I know. You're right.
You are teasing me. I can remember one time when I was praying, and he had really did me wrong. I mean, the stories go almost endless of what had happened between he and I. And I remember distinctly, I was, you know, drawing closer to the Lord through this very difficult time, as many people have a tendency to draw closer to God during their difficult moments.
Absolutely. And then that's one reason we have difficult moments.
Yeah, when they're gone, and a lot of times they forget to,
sure,
to continue moving forward spiritually as they were. But I can remember one time, and the Lord dealt with me, "You have to ask him to forgive you."
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be kidding. I mean, he's the one who's done all this. You've got to ask him to forgive you. So one night I went out to the van to get our child. He was a small little thing at that time. And I said to him, I asked you to forgive me." And he looked at me and he said, "You don't mean that," and he drove off. And I was like, "Okay, God, I did what you told me to do. And is that all that was necessary?"
Right, that's all that was necessary.
There never was ever any other kind of discussion between he and I on any of that. Well, we didn't have discussions. We had yelling matches as when we had communication.
Sure.
So, but that took a lot. And I
right.
think that, you know, when God tells you to do something, I mean, if there's any listeners out there who God is telling you either to go to someone
right.
to ask their forgiveness,
sure,
to do something, or you feel you need to step up to the plate, step up to the plate.
Step
there's
up.
There's freedom. There's so much joy and freedom
yes.
that comes when you do that.
Right.
There's,
when
there's
you're obedient.
When you're obedient. God rewards obedience.
He does.
Obedience. He rewards obedience, you know?
Absolutely. And that's such a good point. And while we're on this point of forgiveness, I think we make this point so often on this show, and that's okay. If we have to make it every single show, then we'll just keep on making it. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done. Forgiveness means they don't owe us anymore. It also doesn't mean that you get an apology when you think you have one that's owed you. It does not mean that. Our responsibility is to forgive them whether they ever apologize to us or not. They may never do that. There's many, many people in my life through the years that have never, ever apologized to me about things that have happened. It's not my responsibility to go after that apology. My responsibility is to let it drop, to let it go. And that's what forgiveness is all about.
Well, it's kind of interesting that April, a year ago, my ex-husband's mother passed away.
Right.
And I wound up being in really good terms with his mother and his sister.
Right.
Whose sister told me, "You need to come to the funeral." And I said, "Not until he says it's okay am I coming to the funeral." So bottom line, he actually gave permission. And this is a man who we didn't talk anymore. After Bradley reached a certain age, we didn't have to, so we didn't. And so They told me, he said it was okay for me to come. Now, this was a big deal for him to say that.
Sure.
And you know, it's just how far we've come. I mean, right. that was really cool. You know?
Isn't that cool?
And so I went over to him. I didn't know how to approach him.
Right.
And I went over to him and I went to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And to tell him, you know, I'm really sorry about, you know, her passing away. And he grabbed me and he hugged me. I was like, so we hugged each other.
Oh,
and his wife
beautiful.
Saw that.
That's beautiful, Nick.
But it was like all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff. All that stuff just, it didn't matter anymore.
Wow.
It just didn't matter. All the stuff, all the wrong that had been done to me, it just didn't matter anymore.
Wow.
And that was pretty powerful.
That's forgiveness.
You know?
Okay? When you can let it drop and realize he doesn't owe you anymore, he can't make it right, he doesn't owe you an apology, you know? It'd be nice, sure. Lots of times I could write a long list, or used to be able to. I probably couldn't anymore. But just a list of people that I'd like to have an apology from, nah, not anymore. Because I understand that that's not what's important. What's important is what's going on in my heart. Mm-hmm. Have I forgiven? Have mm-hmm. I let it go? And when we submit to God and we are teachable, we become humble before God. It's no longer about, oh, this awful thing was done to me. Our pride has to take a back seat when we submit to God. Our pride has to. And it's no longer about making things right, but it is a matter of letting go and let God realize that I mean business, that I am submitting my will to Him. I'm bowing before Him, and I'm saying, God, like David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. You know, renew a right spirit within me. You just said it, according to the King James. Create a clean in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That was David's prayer after his sin with Bathsheba, and God forgave him. And David humbled himself and submitted right there to God. And from that point on, David was used more mightily than ever before because of the repentance. And that's what it's all about.
God knows the heart.
He does know our heart.
He knows our heart. And
he knows it's hard for us to submit, I think.
Yes. I think he does know that.
You know, and he makes a point of it several times in the scripture. You got to submit. You got to submit to God. You got to lay it down. Lay down your rights.
That's so hard sometimes for people, Pastor.
I totally agree.
You will know that. That is hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
The right to be right? Oh, that's a tough one. I have a right to be right. I have a right for everybody to know that I'm the one that was hurt here. Really? You're the one that was hurt here? You know what I'm saying? You're giving me that pensive look there, Nan.
What?
Look. Cedric just checked to make sure you were still here.
I'm still here. Hi, Cedric.
Don't you think that we get all caught up in this whole concept of I have a right to be right? And I want people to come around and say, oh, you're right. But you know what? Because I'm just a couple years older than you.
Just a couple.
I know from life's experiences now, many, many, many times in our lives, the people will never come and say, oh, you know what? You were right. They're not going to do that. And in the meantime, what that does, if we insist on being told we were right, or if we insist on an apology being made to us, what happens is it begins to fester on the inside of us.
I can talk about festering.
You want to talk about festering?
Can I give a graphic from Wednesday night?
Yeah, yes, you can, Nan. Well, this is pretty gross, listeners.
No, it's not real gross.
Kind of.
I wound up getting hurt on my upper, the front part of my leg, between the knee and the ankle. And it kind of went.
You experienced a very bad fall.
Yeah. Felt like I was a turtle on my back. You know?
It
was bad a couple weeks ago. And I didn't do anything about it because I just always let things heal. I figure they just heal, so they'll just heal. And that's just the approach. I didn't think anything about putting anything on it because it'll heal.
You didn't even do any special cleansing measures.
I didn't do anything. I figured it would heal. It didn't look that bad. It really didn't look that bad. And then all of a sudden, it started. There were two places, two marks on my legs, and it started turning red around the marks.
Uh-huh.
So I texted a friend of mine, and I said, here's the deal. Look, here's what's happening. And so it's like, yeah, we'll go out and get this and this and this and do this and this, this. You know, it's a nurse friend. So I said, okay. So then almost overnight, I mean, it started getting a little pink between. It's like 5 inches, not 5 inches long, but from
it's
one point to the other.
Looking.
It was 5 inches long. Yeah, you saw the picture, didn't you? So it was like, so, and that's so much like unforgiveness, because
yes.
What happened is I let it go.
Yeah.
And I kept letting it go. And until
just it'd be okay by itself.
Thinking it would be okay by itself. I said, why let it go? I didn't worry about it at all. And the next thing I know, I've got staph infection.
Exactly.
And it took the doctor, we can call the doctor God,
mm-hmm.
to show me what to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, she showed, you know, she said it's staph infection and you need to do this and this and this. And she gave me the verse. And the friend of mine I had sent the picture to was like, that's not what you described it as. What you described was not that.
Right.
And it had almost overnight, it went from just being kind of, you know, a little bit messed up, but not to big time bad. And I think that's the way unforgiveness happens. At first, it's like a little bit, and we just don't pay attention to it. It really doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. All of a sudden, boom, it's a big deal.
Right.
And it's eating you up. Forgiveness,
right.
Unforgiveness doesn't do anything to the person you're holding the forgiveness against.
There you go, right there. You're wanting them to suffer, and they're not suffering.
They're not suffering. They're
in
over
fact,
their
they
life.
Probably forgot that they even did what
exactly.
they did.
Exactly. You know, and meanwhile, it's eating you up and festering up.
Yes.
And like the doctor told me, you know, what I need to do, and she took care of providing me the medications and everything, you know, for the cream, for the thing, antibiotic by mouth, you know, do this, do that, and you're okay. That's just like God letting us
yes.
know what
yes.
to do.
Right.
And if we just listen to his word.
Yes.
And follow his word and do it sooner than it turns into a staph infection.
Absolutely.
You're gonna be okay, you know?
Absolutely.
You know.
Because it will get worse. You know, a verse we quote around here a lot is 1 John 1:9, which is really also known as the Christian's bar of soap.
Ooh.
Since we're talking about your leg.
Yeah.
The Christian's bar of soap, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. Unrighteousness is when we're not in right standing with God, when we're full of all kinds of junk and we aren't dealing with it and confessing it as sin. But God promises us if we confess our sins, he will. He will come and cleanse us. And so is it sin? Is it sin to harbor unforgiveness?
Yes, it's sin to have unforgiveness in your heart.
Absolutely. Is it sin to be bitter? Let the unforgiveness go into bitterness? Because you said this thing on your leg started out, it was a cut and it didn't look real good. But almost overnight, it turned worse.
It turned.
And it went into a staph infection, which is very serious. And from just a cut to ends up over here with a staph infection. Now it needs more
right.
attention. It needs more treatment. And you couldn't just leave it the way it was because it could have gone into something even worse.
Right.
MRSA.
Exactly.
Okay? So this is such a wonderful metaphor, your leg, isn't it?
maybe. Well, I was like, maybe God helped it happen. No, God,
no.
God would have done that. But
still, we can take life experiences.
Absolutely.
And we can learn from them. So it's a great metaphor for what happens when we have been wronged, okay? And we have been hurt and we have been lied about or talked about or whatever the case may be when those things happen. Not if those things happen, because they will happen. Because you're human, you walk around this earth in a human body, all those things are going to happen. You're going to be hurt. You're going to have people lie about you. You're going to have misunderstandings. You're going to have people reject you. You're going to have those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not if they happen, when they happen. When they happen, we need to take care of it within ourselves. And there are times that God says to us, go to that person and try to straighten it out. And sometimes you go to somebody and they go, no, I don't want to straighten that out with you. Then you've done what
you've
you
done
needed to
part.
Do. Right.
You know, when I asked my ex-husband for forgiveness, I tell you what, you have no idea what that took.
I'm sure it did.
Because I was the one who took all the, did all the stuff. You know, I was a recipient.
Sure. You were the innocent party.
I really was the innocent party in that situation. Contributed very little to the negativity of what was going on. But yet, when God leads us or directs us to do something, it's best we do it.
Absolutely.
Kind of like submitting ourselves to the Lord.
That's
exactly what it is.
That's
it. Submitting ourselves to the Lord. And by doing what he asks us to do, we gain better footing in our walk with the Lord because we have obeyed him. We've had
absolutely.
A teachable spirit. You need a teachable spirit.
Right.
You know, and well, you don't necessarily need a teachable spirit. You should have one.
You got to have one.
It'll make it easier.
If you're going to submit to God, I believe you do.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
We talked last week on the show about pride and the fact that it's exaggerated self-esteem. You know, it's thinking more of yourself than it maybe should be or whatever. And it's to the point that it's all about me, you know, the me thing. And, you know, God is so clear in the Word about the spirit of pride. And he says, it's not good. Get rid of it. Deal with it. Don't walk around with that pride. People can detect that pride, don't you think, Nan?
I've seen some people in churches before that had, I call it negative pride and positive pride.
Really, yeah,
The way I word it.
Self-respect, that's good.
Okay,
you know, maybe we just need to use different terms, but a positive self-respect, there's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about arrogance and pride, where it's all about me, you know?
There can be a lot of problems when you have people around you who feel that way.
Right.
And there can be special problems if you have leadership around you that feel
absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know. And it's our responsibility as leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ to be able to be an example to people of how to allow God to do the work in us that needs to be done. It's a solemn responsibility to submit ourselves continually to God, continually saying, God, okay, I don't like this that happened, but maybe you know, not maybe, you know that you're going to get something good out of this, and I don't see it right now, but I know you're going to do something in this situation, so I humble myself before you, and I'm teachable. Teach me what I need to learn in this situation. Isn't he wonderful? Don't we love him?
Oh, we love him a lot.
But, I mean, you know, life without God, I don't understand how people do it, because life is tough. People hurt us. Things happen. We need God. We need God. We're gonna go to this song, and then we're gonna go on and get into the next part of this verse. Blessed be your name, and I love it. It's a great song. We do this with a Beacon Alive. It's so good.
We come to worship the Lord tonight. We proclaim your righteousness in this great assembly. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. The sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
love that song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When things aren't going good, when things are going great. It's, you know, we just blessed be the name of the Lord. That's submitting to God, Nan, when we realize that things sometimes are going to be difficult. And we have to learn how to handle life's difficult moments. But God is right there. And as we submit to Him, He teaches us how to do that. I love that song. One of my favorites. We're in the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 7. And it says this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. That James 4, 7 is one of the most powerful verses that I have memorized through the years and have lived by. Submit to God and resist the devil. Two things. And I like that order too, because as we submit to God and as we get our thought life in order, as we learn how to forgive others, as we learn how to be sold out to God, then the devil is not going to like that at all, Nan. And perhaps there's going to be some battle coming at us. What do you think?
I think we have battle coming at us a lot, you know. As we continue to submit to the Lord, it really ticks Satan off.
It does. It
makes him for a very unhappy camper.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, he does not like it when we're submitting to God. So when you go out on a limb and you say, okay, God, I want everything you have for me. I want to live in your perfect will. I want to do what you want me to do this day. When we start the day that way, the devil's not happy, but we should not be afraid of the devil. And I think a lot of people walk around in fear of the devil. Nan, I really do. And they think that if they resist him, all hell's going to break loose.
So it's easier not to humble ourselves before the Lord. It's easier because Satan will let up on us, you know. We think that. Sure, I've thought that. I've thought that before. You know, if I get so totally sold out to God, this before I came to Beacon, if I get so sold out to God, Satan's really going to be on my case then, that I don't want to sell out to God. But by selling out to God, the Lord helps us dealing with Satan, and you know, we just become stronger through the situation, and God has our back.
Absolutely.
God has our back.
And the more we submit, the easier it is to resist.
That's true.
Okay? The more we submit to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you today. We're doing what you want done. I'm going to do my best to listen to your voice. And when an opportunity comes to me, or open door to greet somebody, to smile at them, to send them an email of encouragement, or just to pray for them, or whatever you have for me to do today. When you start living that way, I can tell you from personal experience, Nan, that when the devil does attack and you are submitted to what God wants done for that day, it's easier in a lot of respects to then resist the devil, because you don't want the devil to mess up the day that God planned for you. You know, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, do you understand what I'm
yes,
where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do.
Because so often I think that people walk around in fear of the devil. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. If you're walking around in fear, that's coming from the devil. If you're walking around in fear about your physical body, your finances, your relationships, your children, your grandchildren, anything that's going on in your life, if you're walking around in fear, that did not come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I don't know, Nan. You think we can all use a little bit of power, love, and a sound mind?
I can.
Yes, I believe that we can.
Yeah.
And that we, you know, we need that.
We need that.
We need that.
And instead, so often, we get all hung up on what the devil may be doing or has done or how he's hassling us. And maybe some of our listening audience are fighting this right now, that they understand the concept of submitting to God, but they really are afraid that the more they give up to God and submit to God, the more the devil's going to attack them. Comment on that.
The more they give up, the more they receive.
Oh, Oh, my.
Where'd that one come from?
Where'd that come from? That's profound. The more they give up, the more they receive. Yes. Explain that.
The more that you give up of the negative things in your life, as you are, as the scripture says, submitted unto the Lord, and as you resist Satan, you receive more from the Lord and the goodness of the Lord than you just receive more. You just do.
Okay. I'm thinking of a metaphor right now. My oldest son, Ryan, is a seed corn salesman, a top salesman in a big company in the Midwest. And when he sells to these big farmers, they buy thousands and thousands and thousands of bags of corn. Okay. And they'll do it a lot of times in the fall, getting ready for the spring planting, or they'll take possession of the seed in, you know, January, February, March, getting ready to plant. When the corn kernels or beans or wheat or whatever, they come to the farmer, they come in a big bag, okay? They just look like the corn kernels that you would have eaten, you know, off of a corn cob, you know, when you eat corn on the cob, you know? Mm. They look like that. They just look like a kernel. Okay. Or the beans. I've got a whole a canister that my son gave me of beans, and they look like little pellets. Okay. What they plant. All right. Now, if you just look at that at face value, these little corns, these little bean kernels, you know, and you have open a bag of them, you go, oh, who can eat this? Okay. I don't know what we're going to do with this. But the farmer understands that if he plants that and it dies, Jesus said this in John chapter 12, and that verse just came to me, that whole concept, and let's go there for just a second because it's powerful. Jesus says in John 12, and it's about verse 24, I believe, so we'll find it and see what he says there about planting kernels. John 12, I think it's about, trying to find it. And obviously I wasn't planning on using this, but a lot of times we never know what we're doing, right? Anyway, what Jesus says here, and I'll find it in a little while, is that you must.
24.
You got it? 24?
I think I may.
I believe you're right. Okay, there it is, 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Yeah, verse 24. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies," that's the submission to God right there, "unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me where I am. My servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." That is Jesus talking about this whole concept. That's John 12, starting with verse 24, where Jesus is saying, in order for that grain of wheat or that grain of corn to blossom, let's use the metaphor of the corn. That one seed is going to produce this huge stalk that is like 8 or 10 feet tall, and it's got all kinds of ears of corn on it with all kinds of kernels on it. Because why? Because that seed was planted in the ground and it died. Okay? And that's what happens. And that's what has to happen with us. It was also a metaphor for him himself going to be dying, being going into the tomb, going into the ground for that period of time, those 3 days and nights that he was before he was the resurrected Lord. So it's a metaphor for that too. But unless we go into that state of allowing our self to die, us dying to the things that the way we think something should be, okay? Unless we do that, we're not going to blossom. We're not going to grow into this great big corn stalk. We're going to stay this little person who is beat up by this in life and that in life and whatever. And we're not going to see the big picture of our lives. Comment on that, Nan. That's all this concept of submission and resisting the devil and what he's trying to do.
Well, I think sometimes we also have to check our motives. What is our motive?
Okay.
I'm thrown out there planted, but, you know, when you're talking about die to yourself, that there goes that goes along again with submit your will to God.
That's,
you know,
it, right,
like,
there.
Okie dokie, you want me to die to myself? And that means you have to give, you know, some people think it means I'm going to have to give up this and this and this and this. Well, no, God just wants submission to him.
Right.
If he wants you, if he directly lets you know you need to quit doing whatever, then you better do that. And
right.
People there again are afraid of what he's going to require them to do.
Yes.
If I
yes.
turn to him, if I submit mm-hmm. to him, what mm-hmm. is he going to make me give up?
Right.
But, you know, I have found that, you know, nothing is so important that it can't be given up for God when you're walking the way you need to be walking with him, because you desire to please him.
Exactly. And because you understand the concept that he is calling us to submit to him. He's not saying here in James 4:7, you know, if y'all feel like it one of these days, why don't you think about submitting to me, God?
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying that if y'all feel like it one of these days. He's saying submit to God. Submit therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's not saying if you feel like resisting the devil, if you feel like submitting to God, if you feel like getting serious about your relationship with God someday. What you thinking, Nan? Just tough stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. This is some heavy duty stuff to come back with you on. I know of maybe some attitudes that perhaps I have had in my life.
Okay. All right, Nan's repenting.
Nan's repenting again. Boy, I mean, what is this? The good life repentance program today.
Right.
But you know, it's just. You know, I thought it was going to be really hard. And maybe initially it was.
Right.
But in the longevity of the situation.
Okay.
And the way in which they used to use the term growed up. That's not really accurate English, but growed up. In of growing in the Lord, it really wasn't that big a deal compared to the joy and the relationship, you know, that I have with God. It was not that big a deal than to give it up. I could look back on it. At the time, it was a big deal. But so later on, you could look back and say it
wasn't. Are you saying that if we submit to God and we do it, you know, continually, we don't do it like one time 14 years ago at an altar and that's it? This is a daily surrendering
yes.
to God. This is not just a one-time
no.
deal, you know, because there's so much of things that happen and get in our ways, and we lose that submission to God sometimes, and we need to be called back to that point.
But you have said, you know, sometimes life happens.
Life
just happens. You know, there's a lot of people listening to us right now, whether it be live or in the future, that they just have some really tough life stuff going
yes,
on. You know,
yes,
and so it's certainly not to negate and to take away from the seriousness of what is going on with them. But as the Lord leads them to walk forward and how he leads them to, he will help them with all those things.
Absolutely.
He is there with them. And as they're humbled before him, he is there with them. And he's there with them.
We got to talk more about this. Nathan's going to join us in just a few minutes. We invite you to use our prayer ministry. We talk about it every week because it is so important. We get requests from around the world. We ask you if you want to be on the prayer team at Beacon of Hope. Doesn't mean you have to come to church at Beacon of Hope, but if you want to be a part of the prayer team, the email address for that is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You just write a note and say, put me on the prayer team. If you have a prayer request, you do the same thing, don't you, Nan?
You do the same thing, list out the prayer request.
Yeah, just write
it
out.
Send it on in, absolutely.
You know, whatever it is, maybe there's some real heavy-duty stuff going on in your life right now, and you want some real serious prayer for that situation. I can tell you our people pray, don't they, Nan?
They do. I can remember a specific time that I had a major meltdown in my office.
Right. And I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I was sending out a prayer request, walking all the way to the back of the back parking lot, there by the dumpster, and going, God, I can't do this. I do, too. I hadn't thought of it. Just
praise God. You didn't quit your job.
I didn't quit my job. I went back in. I got it together. My God was with me. The prayers were answered, and I was able to move forward in my day. Not crying and welling and acting like I couldn't do my job because I went back in there and was just in good shape and got
God miraculously intervened in your situation.
He did.
In a space of 30 minutes.
He did. Or else I was going to have to go home.
Right.
I mean, you can't be in the office like that.
Right, right.
But God moved so that I could stay there.
You know, and there's so many times, Nan, where we feel that we're coming to the end of our rope with some of life's circumstances. And that's where you need a backup prayer team that you know is praying for you. And that's what we have at Beacon of Hope. We don't have to know you personally to pray for you. You just write us an email, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Connie and Carol and Alice, these people pick up those requests, write out a prayer, send it out to the prayer team, and you get prayed for. And we also pray for those on Wednesday night during prayer meeting before Bible study. It's a great thing and a great tool.
And it's also they don't ever need to give their name. You may have said that. I'm not sure.
No, I didn't say that.
They don't need to give their name. You can say, I am having difficulties with situation with my husband. You don't have to say the name. You know, here's the situation, and he's lost his job or whatever. Going, you know, the children, whatever. You know, you don't have to say any name because, you know, God knows who they are.
Absolutely.
And when the prayers start going up, God knows who it's for.
Absolutely.
So don't
have to do that. We just invite you to use our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Some of you listen to this show on a regular basis. And maybe, like Nan said earlier, you don't have a church home. We welcome you to get involved financially with us. We don't talk about money much, but I tell you, there are expenses to keep us on the air. And so we encourage you, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can give a tithe, an offering, a donation, and it will be used for this radio ministry. So we encourage you to do that. Be a partner with us financially. Wow. All right, we got to do some station ID, and then Nathan will come on here pretty soon.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad you've joined us. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister and Nan live in the studio, and our brother Nathan, who has been ill the last few weeks, is back with us. Nathan, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Woo! Hey, did we have church this morning, Nathan?
Yes, we did.
Nathan Burton, did we keyboard extraordinaire player? It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was great. And I tell you, that those Christina's making the drums just talk, and Ashley on the bass, and you on the keyboards, and then singers and tambourines and all kinds of stuff going. And, hey, it's just a fun time in the house of the Lord. It is.
Yes, it is.
You know, we've prayed for you. You've been ill. You've gone through an awful lot. And, again, an attack of the devil, you know, and so many things that have happened. But, you know, God is victorious, Nathan. Do you want to just give a testimony of his goodness there?
Well, just that he's good. God is good every day. You know, he's good all the time.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
And
he's seen you through a hard time, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
We're so glad you're back with us. We're going to have a discussion here about resisting the devil. Can you hang on with us a little bit?
Yes, I can.
All right, because Nan and I have you been listening? You know what we were talking about, submitting to God.
Yes.
And now we're ready to talk about resisting the devil in a big way. Before we do, we're going to go to a song by Storyside B called Be Still, and then we'll be right back. Listen to this.
I remember all the times, the good times and the bad. I'm still holding on to you. Some days I wanna run, sometimes I come undone, but I still belong to you.
Is right here. Praise God. We are talking on living the good life today about submitting all to God, James 4:7, and resisting the devil and he will flee from us. We're going to go over one book to the right in your Bible, and that is 1 Peter. And we're going to go to chapter 5. And interestingly enough, believe it, here we are again. It says in about verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Oh my, there's that word again. Now we're in 1 Peter. We were in James. Now we're seeing it again, to humble ourselves. And here's what Peter says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here we go. There we are. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Wow, that is huge right there, Nathan. Casting our anxiety on him because he cares for us. When we humble ourselves, we are saying, God, I'm teachable. Do what you need to do in my life. And I love the rest of this verse. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Talk to me about that. Are you there, Nathan?
Sometimes it doesn't come easy. It's not an easy task.
Right.
I mean, we are by nature are proud people.
Right.
And we take credit for things that are things of God.
Right.
They don't have anything to do with us.
Right. Right.
You know, like our talents or abilities of God.
Right, those came from God. Those are God-given, yes. Good point.
That God has given to us to lift him up and to praise him and to adore him.
Right.
As we take credit for it. And so then comes the humbling process.
Yeah, that's the part, isn't it? Mm.
Well, it can be very difficult because being made teachable
right.
sometimes, you know, it's just a difficult thing. It's just a very difficult thing. it's not something that we like all the time.
No.
I don't think we like it any of the time.
Right. Right. But as we do it, we change, don't we? As we allow ourselves to be teachable, we really change.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We do.
I love verse, I think it is it 8? I think it is.
Be sober.
Yeah, in 1 Peter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And this goes right along with James 4, 7. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Again, Nathan, we are told now in the book of Peter, we were told in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee. We're told in Peter the same thing, resist the devil, standing firm in your faith. And resisting the devil is something that I think a lot of people are afraid to do. Nan and I touched on this in the first hour. And I think a lot of people get it in their head that if they fight the devil in any way, he's going to come at them so strong that they're just going to go under for the count.
Yeah, I think fear, well, fear is his greatest weapon.
Right. Fear is a huge weapon. Right.
He uses that to defeat us in many, many, many ways.
Right. I mean,
if he can keep us in a place of fear, then we are not in a place of faith.
Right. Exactly.
And without faith, we can't really resist him.
And the word says without faith, we can't please God, you know?
That's right.
And it takes faith to resist the devil. Because yeah. We've got to know that we are more powerful than the devil. Because greater is he that is in me, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world, right?
Yes. Amen.
So we got to get that down on the inside of us, that we have that power. Jesus gave us the power and the authority and told us that we have the weapons necessary to resist. And somehow, you know, we've got to bolster that courage and fight when we are hit with anxiety, when we're hit with worry, when we're hit with doubt, when we're hit with sickness, disease. Talk to me about all that.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's hard to fight when you're down. It's hard to fight when you're sick.
Right.
You know, but if you can take your stand right where you are and say, this far and no further, Satan.
Right.
You can come no farther. And you continue to take ground away from him. Continue by the word of your testimony, by the word of your mouth.
Right.
You know, you to tell him, no more. And by the blood of the Lamb. You know,
amen. We resist. And the what you're talking about is Revelation 12, 10 to 12, where it says, we overcome the devil, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, which is what he's called, what Jesus called him, the accuser of the brethren. We overcome by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So when we start quoting the word and the words of our testimony become what God's word says about us, that, you know, for instance, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, for financial things. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. There's so many scriptures on the different areas that we come under attack. We need to use the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus against all that, don't we? You've been doing that. You and I have been doing that for so many years, Nathan. I'll tell you, we've been walking this walk, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Does that mean that we don't have any more issues anymore? No more problems to deal with? No more.
I wish. you know, new level, new devil.
There you go. That sounds like Joyce Meyer to me.
Yep.
She says that, new level, new devil. Because we do that. As we submit more to God, yeah, the devil tries to trip us up. He thinks, they'll fall down under this attack. This is going to be too bad for them. But look at you right there, Nathan. You have been through so much physically in the last several weeks. Hospitalization, really a lot of things happened to you. But look at you. You're getting stronger every day. You played a mean keyboard today. You played a mean keyboard and sang those songs today.
Praise God. give the glory to God.
Amen. Amen. But, you know, a big part of this is resisting the devil, you know, and saying, I'm getting well. I'm getting stronger every day, you know.
That's right. That's right. And every day I take my authority.
Yes.
And I tell him, you know, I'm not going to be under bondage. I'm not going to be under sickness.
Right.
It has no place in my body.
So you mean you had to physically say some things out loud, yes. Nathan, to yes. fight? Talk to me about that.
Oh, I mean, just daily telling the devil that, you know, that my body is whole in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and that, you know, that sickness cannot dwell in me.
Yes.
You know, you cannot destroy me. You know, Jesus came to bring life, and that more abundantly.
Amen. John 10:10. Yes. And you have to quote that, don't you? It's got to become a part of you, don't you think?
Yes. Yes.
Nan wants
it's
to comment
to
here.
More part of you than the world. It's got to become more part of you than the other.
It's got to become so real that it's more real than the circumstances.
Yes.
Nan wants to comment here, Nathan.
Well, I was thinking about there's all different kinds of things that people face.
Right.
One in particular that's been very close and dear to my heart because of in past times, it was a real problem for me, was depression.
Right.
And you have to speak the word. You have to get yourself out of bed.
Right.
You need to move forward. Speak that word. Due to the nature of depression, you know, you have a physical thing, say my arm is broken or my shoulders, whatever, something's happening, you know, and you can speak the word and move forward and it's going to heal because you've sought proper medical attention as necessary.
Right.
But with depression, it can be a little bit different because you're stuck in bed. That's part of the thing of depression, you know.
Right. But it tries to paralyze you.
It will if you let it, but you have to speak the word, mm-hmm. speak your words,
yeah.
humble yourself. Resist Satan and say, I am going to get up and I'm going to be productive today. And, you know, the word talks somewhere, and you would probably know the scripture, about the power of the tongue.
Right.
The tongue is very powerful.
We taught on that last week.
You can lift someone up or you can put someone down.
Yes.
I had someone say something to me a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. You know, that still bothers me.
Really?
It is a week, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it's because of who it was and what was said.
Right.
It has had an effect on me that
sure.
I think of this when I see this person now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a bad thing. But
right.
you can lift people up, and then you can I think back on times people have lifted me up. Anyway.
Right.
Humble ourselves.
Humble ourselves, resist the devil. So, Nathan, you're saying that physically you got to the point you had to speak out loud with your mouth and resist the attack of the devil. Is that what I hear you saying?
That's right. Exactly.
And,
exactly. I mean,
go on.
And you had to quote scripture.
Yes.
You know, over
yes.
myself.
Right.
And fall in line with it, under agreement with the scripture.
That's right.
And fall out of agreement with the circumstances. You
exactly.
know, the things that Satan was trying to put on me and try to present itself on my body, or I just had to fall out of agreement with it. I just, you know, I could not agree with it. I did not want it. Did I want to have it? And I agreed with the word of God.
Absolutely. Jesus made a big deal of the prayer of agreement. It's Matthew 18:18, where he says that if two of you or three of you agree on anything as touching that thing, and harmonize. In fact, in the Amplified Bible, it says, make a symphony about that agreement. In other words, Nathan, you and I sing together and some of the rest of us. And when we're in harmony, when we're off, we hear it and we feel it and we look at each other kind of funny. But when we are in harmony and in sync, it's amazing. Not that we're great singers, I'm not saying that, but it's amazing what harmony sounds like, isn't it? Talk to me. You're a musician. You understand harmony. Talk to me about harmony.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we're in, I listened to our group today, even. It sounds like there's so many more people there than there really are.
Right.
When we're in perfect harmony.
Right.
And we just sound like a great big group, and it's beautiful.
Right.
It is just beautiful. And it's uplifting to my soul.
Amen. So when we're in harmony in prayer, okay, that's what that word means in the original Greek there. Jesus said, make a symphony together. you know? I've actually been at the symphony, and I'm sure you probably have too, with all those instruments, all those different instruments. Have you ever been to a symphony, Nathan?
Yes.
Okay. And when, you know, any three or four of those people could really be cause some problems, right? If they were playing a different song, if they were totally out of tune. I know you stopped practice this morning. You said to Ashley, our bass player, okay, we got to get you tuned here on a couple places,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because tuning is so important, right?
Oh, yeah, especially if you're going to be in harmony.
Right. Okay, and go on.
Well, it's important that everybody's on the same page,
right?
You know? And that you're playing. If you're playing the same melody, or you're playing the same song, and a harmony part in that song, that it's got to be in tune.
It's got to be in tune. Okay, and people can hear when somebody's off key or it's not in tune. And it's the same thing spiritually. If I call you, Nathan, and I say, I'm going to agree with you right now, brother, that you are getting stronger every day, that your body is healed, which, of course, we did when you were in the hospital. I sat by your bed, and we did that. We did that kind of a prayer. Okay, we were in agreement. We made an agreement, a pact together, that you would be raised up and all the effects of what had happened to you would dissipate and you would be back on that keyboard and singing. And here we are today, the first Sunday that you're back after several weeks of being extremely ill. But we made a pact. We made an agreement, you and I, and everybody else in our church, too. We were in harmony. We were in symphony, Nan. We were not a couple of us going, no, I don't want Nathan to be healed. We were all in agreement. Do you want to comment on that before we get back to Nathan?
I'm happy to have my brother back.
Yeah, you're just crazy about him, aren't you?
I'm crazy about him. He knows everybody at church knows how crazy I am about him.
It's really good to have him back.
Yes.
You know, yes, Nathan, you're a keyboard player, and I'm appreciative of that. But even more importantly than that for me is for you to be back.
Right.
For you to be well, for you to be doing good, and for you to be back in your spot at Beacon. Yes, keyboard, you do a great job at it, and I really am thankful that you're there, but more so for me than that is that you're there and that you're doing better.
Because not only, Nathan, do you bring that talent, that God-given talent that we were talking about earlier, but you bring a knowledge of the Word.
Right.
You bring that ability to stand with somebody and take their hand and pray in harmony, in symphony, in agreement, resist the devil over the attack that's going on in somebody's life. You are able to do that, and we did that.
I love doing it.
You love doing that.
I love doing it.
In fact, today I had to tear you away from praying over some people and get you up to the keyboard because I needed you up there, right? But seriously, I mean, you love that. You love that ministry, and that's what we're talking about. When we're praying over people, we prayed over several people for healing today. What we did when we prayed over those people was to resist what the devil was doing in their physical body, standing in agreement with them against the attack of the devil. That's what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nathan, do you want to comment on that?
Well, when we stand in agreement and stand against the devil, we are attacking the devil.
Right.
And we are, when we resist him, the Bible says he will flee.
Right.
And I believe the Bible.
Absolutely. There you go.
I believe it's true. And because I believe it's true, it is true.
Okay.
And when we stand against him, he flees.
He flees.
When we resist him, we tell him we don't want any part of him.
Exactly.
He has to go.
So James 4:7, which is our key verse today, says, therefore, Submit therefore unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to read, Nan and Nathan, these words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 8 about the devil. And I think so often we forget how the work of the devil, we don't recognize how important it is that we understand that the devil's nature is not God. It's not godly at all. And Jesus is talking in verse 44 of John chapter 8 to some Pharisees, some people that really didn't get it at all. And he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Now he's talking about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for as there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's John 8:44. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus went on to say, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. So I think, Nathan, so often people don't realize that the voice in their head that is a voice of slander, a voice of accusation, a voice of resentment, random, dirty, crazy, dirty thoughts, whatever, that's not coming from God.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
The adversary. Jesus called him there in John 8:42. He called him the devil, or 8:44. And the Greek word meant our adversary, our slanderer, and our accuser. The devil is out to slander you. He will slander you to yourself. He'll try to slander you and accuse you to God. He will try to accuse you to people around you. And that's his work. He's the accuser of the brethren. Nan, talk about this before I get back to Nathan. Because this is a real problem that people don't fully understand, that the devil is working overtime to slander, accuse, defeat. And by the way, before you respond to that, one of the things I said this morning was a quote from somebody who said the biggest lie that the devil has perpetrated against people is that God does not love us unconditionally. This person texted me after church, Nathan, and said perhaps the biggest lie that the devil has perpetrated is that there is no devil. Now, I love that. And I wrote back to this person, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Nathan, with that.
If he can convince you that he doesn't exist.
There you go.
Then he has free reign. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he doesn't get blamed for it.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of people convinced that he doesn't exist. There are a lot of people that don't believe in the devil.
Right.
That he has convinced them that he doesn't exist. But he does. He does. And he walks around wreaking havoc wherever he can. And as the scripture said today, he stands and he's ready to pounce.
Ready to pounce.
Ready to pounce.
Absolutely.
At any opportunity given. You know, any crack in the armor. Any place where we our tongue slips up, he'll take a hold of that.
Absolutely.
And he'll move in.
Absolutely.
And he his whole purpose is to divide us.
Yes.
To keep us
from
uniting
right
together, to becoming one, and loving each other and loving God. And if he could keep us, blinded to the goodness of God, that's what he's going to do.
Exactly, that's what he's going to do. Because then we become powerless,
yeah.
We become weak. Now, the good part of weakness is that when we are weak, then God can come through and he can be strong in our behalf. These are two different kinds of weakness, really. When we are weak because the devil is beating us up, we really need to rely on God's strength. Listen to the song, then we'll resume this conversation in a minute. One of my favorite songs again, this one by C.C. Winans, His Strength is Perfect When My Strength is Gone.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can
show. No glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when
song. Yes, one of my favorites. He'll carry us. We can't carry on. Woo, the power of God in our lives, and that's why we got to get on board with submitting to God, Nathan, and resisting the devil and letting God give us the strength to do it. You know, I'm just so aware that people get so afraid, scared, intimidated, put off by the devil, the word of the devil, you know, and talking about that. And it's almost like, don't talk about that. I don't want to hear about that. But it is real. He is real. We mentioned a minute ago, this is a huge lie of the devil to try to get people to think the devil doesn't exist and doesn't fight us and doesn't come up against us in different areas of our lives. Nathan, talk to me about this, because I know the devil works overtime to soft pedal his influence.
One of the things is that he tries to convince us that God doesn't love us unconditionally.
Right.
You know, that we can't do enough to get God's love.
Right, exactly.
That you know, we can't be good enough, we can't sing enough, we can't praise enough, we can't read the Bible enough. You know, old lies, you know.
Yeah.
The tapes that run in our mind. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this, and I've got to be this way, and I've got to be that way. You know, instead of learning to really rest, in God.
Amen.
And trust God.
Yes.
And submit to God.
Yes. Exactly. There we go. We're coming back full circle to the submission to God. Right.
Submit to God.
Right.
And then resist the devil.
Right.
Because a lot of people try to resist the devil in their own strength.
Right. There you go. That is a great point. Go ahead with that.
You know, well, I mean, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. And therefore, you know, I can resist him. I can resist him. But then they're defeated every time.
Right.
Because the devil has been around a long time, a lot longer than most of us.
Really, yeah.
And, And he knows, how to get to us.
Well, he knows, our Achilles heel, Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that series I taught many years ago back on Bush Boulevard about he looks for our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get to us through comments from other people, through things that happen. He knows our Achilles heel. He knows our weak places.
And he comes at us through our weaknesses.
He does. Yes.
He comes at us through the places where the chinks in the armor.
Yeah.
He comes at us in our mind.
Right.
You know, where we're self-condemnation.
Yes.
The things that we do to ourselves, he amplifies.
Mm-hmm.
And makes, you know, makes it worse. He makes us feel defeated. And we have to say, here is no more.
Right.
It stops here, and we have to yield to ourselves to God, submit to the Holy Spirit, submit to God. And one thing that I've been learning over the past few weeks is it's okay to rest. It's okay
right.
to rest in God.
Yes.
And believe that God loves me just the way that I am.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And so often we get caught up in performance, you know, that we have to make sure we're doing this, this, and this. And God wants us to realize that as we submit to him, it becomes easier to resist the devil because we desire that God's will be done in our lives, God's work be done through us. And I find it very interesting that when Jesus talks to the Pharisees about the devil, he uses the word diabolos in the original Greek. In Spanish, the word for devil is diablo. And so that's interesting that they took it right from that original Greek. But diabolos means the accuser, the slanderer, the one who undermines our adversary. That's what that means. Jesus himself identifies that we have an enemy, the devil, the diabolos in Greek. We have an enemy that slanders us to ourselves, that accuses us to other people, that accuses us to God. This is the work of the devil. This is a real battle. In 2 Corinthians, Nathan, you know this verse about the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. They're mighty. They're powerful for the breaking down of strongholds, you know? And these weapons are when we begin to resist the devil with the word of God and the blood of Jesus and praise. I tell you, Nathan, the praise that was going up today at Beacon of Hope, when that begins, it takes me to a new level of strength. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. I may enter that service and not feel that strong, but as I begin to use my weapon of praise and begin to just declare God's goodness, it changes everything on the inside of me. You know what I'm talking about, brother? And then we'll go to Nan for a comment about that.
Oh, yes, I know. Because, I mean, I can come to church feeling kind of messed up.
Uh-huh.
And enter into praise and worship, and all the messed up is taken care of.
Yes. Yes. It's a weapon against the devil. Nan wants to comment on that, and we'll come back to you, Nathan.
Well, talking about praise, you know, I greet people when they come into the church. So what I start doing
is, we hope you're nice, sweet, kind, and lovely.
Most of the time.
Okay. I mean, we hope that you are. We had several new people today, so we hope you were nice today, Nan.
I was nice today.
All right, go ahead.
It was the end of the month.
So, okay, all right. Okay, whatever that means.
Well, I don't know what, I'm trying to meet a quota or something.
That's funny. Okay. All right.
Okie dokie. So I stand back there. That's part of the reason I stand back there.
Sure.
And another part of the reason I stand back is I could enter into such praise.
Yes.
Back there. I mean, I could sometimes pace back and forth, just praising the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not bothering nobody because, see, I'm behind everybody.
Right.
They're not seeing me back there doing that. You know, or I'm back there praying over what is happening with the music.
Sure.
You know? And greeting any people if they happen to come in. I happen to be there. But when I am not able to do that, because, like, this morning I had to operate the slides, you know, for the songs. When I'm not able to do that, there's a little bit difference because I'm not able to really enter in the praise and worship like I normally do because I don't want to miss showing a slide.
Right.
But, you know, just the praise and worship, it was awesome this morning, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord was so strong this morning. I know we'd probably say that about every Sunday, but it was.
It's great.
It was great. And, you know, we had our live band going, and it was just so anointed. God was just so there, and the anointing was so much on that praise and worship.
So praise is a weapon. So
praise
you're saying,
weapon.
Nathan and I are saying that as we praise and as we begin to enter into that, something changes. It shifts down on the inside of us. And we get to a different place, don't we, Nathan?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We're not the same.
That's
you know?
Not the same. And we do battle.
We do battle in the spirit by praise. The devil hates us to praise God.
With angels.
Yes. Yes. Well, the devil hates us to praise God. Go ahead, Nan.
I just lost my total train of thought.
Okay, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
You know, that's exactly right, Nathan. As we begin to praise and as we begin to worship, God shows up in a mighty way. The anointing of God, the presence of God is so strong. And the devil hates the anointing. He's always coming against the anointing, people. The devil will always come against the anointed word, against anointed music, mm-hmm. against the miracle working power of God. The devil hates all that.
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, go.
I sometimes, you know, you can come in having dealt with issues of the life or living or whatever, and maybe you don't necessarily feel like praising it. Maybe you don't have this, but you do it. You just start doing it. I mean, next thing I know, I'm like not feeling as I was feeling whatever when I walked in the door, you know, because I've spent that time praising the Lord. And,
yes.
You know, the word says he inhabits the praise of his people.
Amen.
And that is exactly what happens at Beacon on Sunday mornings. The music, the word, all of that, he inhabits the praise of his people.
Amen. We're going to hear a song, and then we're coming back to you, Nathan, and to Nan for more on this. This is by the group down here, and it's called Calmer of the Storm.
When everything is wrong, the day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me. When I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head. I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. Hail on the storm, I am learning to let go of the will that I so long to control. I'm amazed at the power of your will. 'Cause I'm a child of little faith. I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing. Torment blows in the middle of the sea.
never trust, never trust in me. 'Cause there in your arms I find no tragedy.
Whoa. That is so right on that song, Calmer of the Storm. Wow. The things we try to control, the things that we try to make a certain way. In fact, I think the devil works overtime to tell us, oh, you, like we, Nan and I talked earlier in that first hour, Nathan, that so often the devil say, oh, you know, you're owed an apology, or you're owed this, or look how so-and-so has hurt you, you know, and we try to control people's reactions to us so often, don't you think? Is he still there?
Hold affection because of that.
Okay.
We withhold our love.
Yes.
The love of God. The
right.
Love that God has placed inside of us for them.
Yeah. Yes,
and
absolutely we do.
We miss out on so much that way.
Exactly. And don't you think that's just another lie and trick of the devil to keep us
definitely.
From walking in victory, you know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if he can keep us separated, if he can divide us, then he's got us.
Well, he's a master manipulator.
Yes,
he really is. He is all the time working to manipulate us into a place of defeat, of accepting the junk in our lives instead of resisting it. He's all the time trying to get us to focus on ourselves instead of the outreach that we need to be doing towards others, and how that we can impact people's lives by prayer, intercession, speaking life to these people, whatever, whoever they may be. And instead, the devil tries to manipulate us into being so self-centered, so me-centered, that I am not reaching out to others. Instead, it's about me, me, me.
Me, me.
You know?
Oh, yeah. What about me?
Right. You know? And when we do that and fall into that trap, we've just fallen into the pit with the devil. And that's exactly where he wants us. And he's accusing us. He's the liar and father of lies. So he's going to condemn. He's going to always condemn. I love Romans 8:1. It says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've got to learn to resist. Nan talked to me about resisting the condemnation that comes to our minds. And then I'll go back to Nathan, because I know you. We all battle this, don't we?
You were going to say, I know you battle this. That's what you were going to say. It's okay.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say that.
I got her, Nathan.
Maybe I was going to say that. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, I've experienced that condemnation.
Sure.
And Satan helped speak into my mind and helped
sure.
me feel justified in behavior, but in the condemnation, you know, all of a sudden he's with you when you're doing something wrong.
Who, the devil?
Yes.
Yeah, he's leading you down. Yeah,
yes.
That primrose
and then
path.
But as far as the condemnation, you know, you just have to really read the word and fight that. It's a battlefield of the mind. Joyce Myers had a teaching called The Battlefield of the Mind.
Right.
And I was watching some of her programs on TV, and it was The Battlefield of the Mind. It was rich, rich teaching.
Right.
And that's where the battlefield is. It's in your mind. And if Satan condemns you, and you take it, well, he condemns you more and more, and you take it more and more, you're a total basket case spiritually. Sometimes even physically as a result of it.
Absolutely.
You know, because that can cause a lot of physical health issues.
It can. And what you alluded to earlier is the devil leads you down some area and gets you off over here in fear, doubt, worry, whatever it might be, or gets you off into some habit or addiction or something. But when he gets you there, then he starts condemning you that you went there. He doesn't play fair and congratulate you on the fact that you went there. Then he's slandering you, and he's condemning you. And so we've got to learn to resist the devil. Nathan, come back to me.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I mean, come back with that concept there, if you will. I'm not tired, but that's okay.
But resisting the devil is a full-time job.
There you go.
Resisting the devil is a full-time job. I mean, it's something that we need to do, that we should be doing, you know, all the time, because he is all the time trying to come against us, all the time trying to present problems, situations. He's always attacking our physical body. He's always attacking our minds and doing what he can, you know, to try to bring us down, to keep us from serving God, keep us from praising and worshiping God,
right,
to keep us from submitting to God.
Exactly.
He does what he can. And, yes, he will lead us down a path of destruction.
Right.
And once we get there, he doesn't congratulate us for making the journey and finally making the destination. But he speaks condemnation to us.
There
he says, look
go.
At you. Look what you've done.
Right.
Who do you think you are? Who are you to think that God would love you?
Right.
You
That's
know,
exactly what he does.
Oh, he's a scoundrel.
Yeah. He is, and he's real. And audience, there may be some of you out there that think that we're just like going on and on here about the devil, but the truth is, this is right where we were in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. It's not that we just had another show on this topic. We've had many through the years. There's a really good one. If you go to our website, we archived a show. Nan, you and I were on it, and I don't know who else. It was back in June of 2011, and it's Don't Buy the Lie, and it's on our website. And it's a show that expands this whole concept.
Very good show.
And, in fact, I made you listen to it over and over again, right?
Part of my counseling.
But actually, no, you really didn't do that.
Don't buy the lie. But really, the bottom line is James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In fact, Nathan, it's good news that he will flee from us.
Amen.
I mean, Amen. We know right here in God's word, if we resist, he's going to run off. In 1 Peter, he says that the devil is ready to pounce, and he is, on our weaknesses and our areas where we just get slack in our fighting, you know. But we fight with praising God. Listening audience, if you don't know where to begin, begin by getting some great praise music. You can get it. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. You can get some great stuff and begin to listen to that, and it will change your attitude. It will change how you feel down the inside, and you'll begin to rise up and want to fight off the attacks of the devil.
Well, praise changes the atmosphere.
It does.
Changes the atmosphere and makes the atmosphere toxic to Satan.
Absolutely. He hates it when we're praising God. He hates
it. I like that. Toxic to Satan. That's
toxic
pretty good.
To Satan.
Yeah,
so
I
we
like
might
that,
as well be praising God more, right?
Amen. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the more we praise him, the more toxic the air becomes to Satan. And Satan decides, I can't breathe here. I can't live here.
Right.
I can't be here.
He flees. He flees because he doesn't want to be in the presence of praise. And that's why when we start a service as powerfully as we did today and we are praising God and that anointing is flowing and the instruments are in harmony and synchronizing and all of that wonderful stuff, the devil just, he flees and we get God's work done. Nan, you want to comment on that before I get back to Nathan?
I was just there and saw it happen.
Yeah. That's a great testimony. There you go, Nathan. She was just there and saw it happen.
I was just, that's right. That's
we experienced
right.
it, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We do. It seems, you know, like anyone listening to us consistently would think, what is it with this church? Every Sunday they talk about how great the services were and how God showed up and how the Spirit of God moved, and every service they have, you know, a move of the Spirit of God, and like, they don't have a down service.
You know, we don't.
We don't.
We
you know,
no, if, we don't. We wouldn't accept it if we had, if we
right.
did.
you know, if anyone Amen. Lives in the Tampa Bay area, you know, I drive for Tampa to come to this church.
North Tampa.
North
you drive
Tampa.
Quite a ways.
I
so
drive
does Nathan.
Quite a way. Yeah, we both drive quite a ways just to be in this church because this is where we're supposed to be. But I would encourage anyone that wants to check us out, because we keep talking about our great services, come on down.
Come
we're
on
having
down.
Visitors. We're having new people come.
That's right.
You know, and it's really wonderful, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, And he will what, Nathan?
Flee.
Flee from you. Okay?
Flee.
And God gives grace to the humble. So we humble ourselves before God. We say, God, do a fresh work in us. Change us. Make us what you want us to be. Oh, and as we do, he comes through. I want to play, Cedric, I want to go back to track 5 and do His Strength is Perfect again. Because some of our listeners out there may be feeling, you can go ahead and start it and I'll talk over it for a minute. Some of our listeners may be feeling that they're too weak to fight, that they don't know what to do to fight. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. It's God who's going to give you the strength to resist the devil. It's God who's going to give you the strength to submit to Him. What can He do through you? What can He do through you, dear one? Listen to this song and be encouraged.
No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me.
Dear listening audience, God loves you so very much. And even though you may feel weak today and you may not know what to do, God wants you just to humble yourself before Him, submit to Him, let Him be your strength, let Him be your source, let Him be your truth. Get in the Word, learn what He has for you. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. I pray a blessing upon your life right now, that you would know His grace and His mercy in greater measure, that you would run to Him, you would resist the devil and watch him flee. We just thank you, God, Almighty God, for touching everyone that listens to this show at any time in the future. Lord, let them feel your presence in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Sunday mornings right now, we're thinking about some new plans, maybe even a Saturday night service, but right now, Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Nathan, it's been joy to have you back on the air and with our radio team, brother.
It's a joy to be here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, sweetie, and I love everything you said today. It was just great. And Nan, as always, you're just so faithful and right here, and we appreciate your wisdom and what God's doing in you. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday nights at 7. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, and like us so that we can move up there in those standings. Like it. All right? And so do that. And you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and check out some past radio shows. We are in the process of revamping that website, so we'll be telling you more about that in the future. And we hope to see you next Sunday at this same time, because we're going to be here 4 o'clock Tampa time next week. Look forward to it. This has been Nathan Burton, Nan Watson, and Pastor Marcia McAllister bringing the Word of God to you again this day. God bless you. Have a great week. If we can help you, you can email me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. See you soon.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.